folks, and thanks for tuning in to yet another Mouth Fist podcast. I'm Steve Saunders.
I'm Ryan Speck.
And we're here to talk and shit. And actually, shit, I ate a lot of hemp seed, so I'm ready to shit. How about you, Ryan?
I'm good, thanks.
Aw. I recommend to anybody out there, if you need to poop, hemp seed, flax seed, and chia seeds. It'll fuck your ass up.
Hmm. Well, this podcast is already ruined.
You're welcome.
That was the sound of everyone on the internet pressing stop.
Yeah, that's also, there's a contingent on the internet who enjoy poop stuff, and that's us getting a whole new demographic. And well, so welcome, poop lovers.
We have no demographic.
That's true. We lost our three listeners, Ryan.
Yeah, we have turned off our final listeners. And we started off with Hitler, and we're down to this point.
Now we're down to shit, so really nothing much has changed. I'm actually typing on Facebook right now, talking about new Mouth Fist podcast being recorded. Last time you actually cut out our listener questions, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Why'd you do that?
A, for time. B, because they weren't any good.
Yeah, it's true.
We had one good question from Sean Demery. Ooh. Or Sean. There was a debate about whether it was going to be pronounced Sean Demery or Sean DeMorey.
Yeah, I think I go...
Which I compared to Rebecca De Mornay.
That's a good joke too.
Yeah, I was sad to lose it, but
my buddy Ben Trafford always called him Sean DeMorey, and I've always called him Sean Demery. And some of you may have actually read Sean's work. He did the comic Thunder Road with Steve Sanders. That is not me. I'm Steve Saunders, which I actually to this day think Steve Sanders heavily dislikes me because our names are so similar. And
I would hate being mistaken for you too.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Ryan's pretty much joking, well, mostly, Steve Sanders, I'm actually pretty sure doesn't like me, because he's actually talked shit on Twitter and stuff like that, and he always seemed like a nice guy, and his art's really good, but he used to get really, 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 really upset in Miller World when I was doing All the Rage, and people would confuse him for me, you know, he would get confused for me, and he would say, no, I'd rather be confused with a child rapist, and I just thought, man, he must be a very angry guy. He does live in Kansas City, I think, so I'd be angry too.
Yeah.
But otherwise, he's a nice guy when I've talked to him, and he doesn't figure out who I am until I'm, you know. And otherwise, people mistake us for each other quite often because, you know, there's only one letter difference in our first and last names. So sorry, Steve Sanders. If it makes you feel any better, people who didn't like me in school, which there was probably two or three, called me Sanders as an insult. Which I don't think that helps. I don't think that helps things any, because I'm just saying his name is an insult. Anyway, sorry, Steve. Really love the Five Fists of Science, buddy. Okay. So anyway, Sean Demery did a comic with him called Thunder Road, and it was one of the first mobile device comics, and it was actually quite good. So there you go.
So thanks for the question, Sean.
Thanks. And yeah. So in the end, thanks for the question.
Thanks for the question, Sean. Last time it was just too long and. Basically, he asked a question. I said, yeah, that would make a good podcast to have some time. And then Steve proceeded to talk for 5 minutes about the question we should have a podcast about some other time. Ultimately, it didn't add that much more to the podcast, but that was the only real question. Most of it was just blah, blah, blah.
What was the question?
It was about the steampunk, cyberpunk, whatever punk. Talking about the movement of adding all of these punks unnecessarily to, I guess... literary genres.
At one point in my life, I was a part of a select group of people who were pitching for a larger company, but I was pitching with a friend of mine, Josh Wagner. We were pitching together a comic project, and they actually had a strict no steampunk policy. Like, you couldn't pitch anything steampunk. If you said punk, people just flip the fuck out. And that was a few years back, and now it's like everything's punk.
You have to wonder what horrible flood of shit rained on their heads to make them that evasive of talking about steampunk at all.
Well, it's because steampunk at that point still hadn't become what I would call convention material, aside from steampunk being a great new way for nerds to get laid and basically reuse old goth gear. Ryan, I don't know about you, but I remember when steampunk hit the goth scene, and it was like basically all the people who were sick of dressing like Edwardian goth kids decided to dress more steampunky, and people who were sick and tired of looking like they just crawled out of an Israeli tank wanted to look more steampunky.
I never saw any of that. So.
Yeah. Well, I spent a lot of time in industrial clubs. So.
I didn't go to clubs at all. I only went to shows. And those people don't go to shows. They just go to clubs and complain about the music. They don't actually support bands by going to see them.
True, but there's some. But now there's some bands that became steampunk. Like I remember when I saw Abney Park.
Yeah,
it used to be kind of like a. I mean, they're really nice people, but they used to be kind of like a second-rate goth band. I think calling them a second wave goth or dark wave act is really unfair. They just weren't that special, right? No. They weren't that interesting. Then it became a steampunk band and actually quite good now. Now they're all like airships, and I think they even have an airships role playing game, and it's all like blah blah blah. And I have like some friends that are like, you know, writers, and they're like, oh, I'm gonna start a kid lit steampunk book. And I'm like, seriously, at what point did steampunk hijack every fucking thing that I read?
Steampunk is the new pirate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the new pirate, and for those of you listening and like steampunk, I don't judge. I like some steampunk, too. I'm just a bitter old man. But I do recommend that you check out this role-playing game called Unhallowed Metropolis that is an alternate histories slash alternate future where in 1905, instead of like an earthquake or whatever, there's a zombie apocalypse, and it's essentially... They call it gas mask chic. It's very, it's steampunk in the sense that if Warhammer 40K was steampunk, taking place in 2105 in kind of like a neo-Victorian, as if the Victorian age never ended. There you go. That's cool shit you can do with like steampunky type stuff, but pretty done with the whole goggles and steampunk, and it didn't help dating a girl who really likes steampunk for no particularly good reason.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't get any of that shit, but I never really cared. I don't read that much anyway, so I don't come across that much of it. And I don't know people who care. So yeah. I get off light, I guess.
Yeah, me, I since I work in industries that is basically, it's essentially like the Chinese rushing the Yalu River or whatever. The Chinese and rushing into North Korea, so it's a 1951 or whatever. I kind of like... inundation of it's just crazy. So I feel like when I'm thinking about steampunk, I feel like some American machine gunner looking at the millions of Chinese charging at them. I just like, but now I'm comparing Chinese to steampunk, and I guess I might hate steampunk in some ways because I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, China. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to compare you guys to steampunk. But yeah, steampunk is like the new, it's more played out already than cyberpunk was by the end of the 90s and is more played out than fantasy was. With like D&D and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was the one bit you missed from the last episode that was worth a damn, folks. I hope you appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I kind of went off on a similar kind of rant before.
Yeah. Slightly different. Yeah. It was pretty close.
So my usual like rant, semi-apologetic, I'm really sorry I have an opinion kind of thing because everyone wants to have an opinion, but they really don't because everyone's like a defensive piece of shit. Right? I got that right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So anyway, there's somebody out there that loves steampunk that is listening to this that hates my fucking guts right now. And they're like, I've been typing this steampunk book that has airships and unicorns for small children, you know, mainly 15-year-old girls, for the last 6 months, and Steve just ruined my day. And I hope so.
Yeah. To those people, I would say, stop. Why? Why are you doing this? No one cares.
I'm thinking it's a money thing. I mean, it's somebody, you know.
Like, I don't get it. I just don't see, I see the aesthetic coolness of some of the shit people create, but most of it is just kind of dumb. I don't know why anyone would specifically care about that as a genre in which they'd want to read a bunch of novels. It's set dressing. It doesn't really matter what takes place in the novel. It's not an indication of what the style of the writing.
Well, yeah, and it's not much of a whole thing of like, I mean, you're not like this. You don't think like this, whereas I think like a little bit more, where I essentially in my brain have a dartboard of ideas and I'm like, what do I need to write now that's going to get me the most attention as a writer? I'm like, and I throw the dart, bam, unicorns. I throw the dart, bam, zeppelins. I throw the dart, bam, zombies. So I have zombie unicorns flying zeppelins in a steampunk kind of environment. I've got a new series of books on my hands.
I'm pretty sure you only know 8 words and zombies, unicorns, and zeppelins are 3 of them.
No, Ryan, only the internet. It's an internet thing. You have about 8 catchwords. Those are also cheese, bacon, and donkey show, which isn't really a word, it's more of a phrase.
Yeah.
So there's all of that. But really, I'm not going to like throw the darts and go, ghosts, number 2 pencils for taking tests, and then throw the other one in. It's like Durham Red, you know, like, and let's rip all that stuff off and turn that into a kidlit steampunk is basically the result of everyone trying to make a whole shitload of money. And then some of it, it's also a result of people who really like that shit. And at some point it all becomes blurred and we're just waiting for the next like round of like pirate steampunk people who are zombies. It's,
I just wish somebody would write some books about angsty teen vampires.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's actually going to be old. That's going to be new hat. Old hat will become new hat again. So in like 5 years, people will be like angsty teen vampires. Who'd have thunk it? So
no, no one will. That ship has been sailing now for almost a decade.
Angsty teen steampunk vampire pirates? How about
I
that?
I mean,
that's,
Twilight
that
was, what, 2004? When you start to think about how long this steamroller has been going.
Steampunk roller.
I guess the major fault can be laid at the feet of tweens, I guess, since I guess the only people now that consistently consume and buy books regularly are young adults and stupid people that read books for young adults.
Yeah, and people, like, apparently people who write them as well, so it's...
I mean, the reason people write so many of them is because that's the only thing people are buying these days, I guess. Everybody is trying to write the next young adult vampire novel. I mean, people are going apeshit crazy about The Hunger Games and The Hunger Games movie. It's like, really?
Oh, yeah. I live in a household with 2 12-year-olds, okay? So I was out shopping with my girlfriend for some books. We actually accidentally picked up a piece of Christian propaganda as a book, thinking it would be some cool book about knights and stuff, and that was kind of upsetting. Even had discussion questions and shit. It was horrifying. I can't believe people make like brainwashing manuals like this.
In what way would this story have been better if there'd been more Jesus in it?
Yeah, basically it's telling the story in allegory and, you know, in that kind of like pseudo intellectual way that like ministers talk. They're like, this is an allegory and I'm using a bunch of big words because I think I'm smart because I've read the Bible. And let me say this, folks, I don't care if you're a Christian, I know you. If you think this should be in our friendship, go fuck yourself. But if you read the Bible and you take that shit literally or even believe in it, you are not an educated person. You're a fucking idiot. Anyway, moving on. The point is there's a shitload of young adult fiction out there because, like you were saying, that seems to be the only people reading books. And you can even tell like the different trends people jump on, including steampunk. So the Hunger Games is something like I thought the Hunger Games was about like, I thought it was a foodie thing. I didn't even know what this was. I had no interest.
In a way, I guess it kind of is.
Yeah, yeah, I don't even know what it's about. Do you know what it's about, Ryan? Because I haven't even looked it up. Because people say The Hunger Games,
yeah,
like, ah.
I know roughly, mainly from vague mentions and the trailer for the movie. It seems to be something about, like, some sort of dystopian future where a bunch of starving urchins are basically told if they want to be fed, they have to submit someone for the yearly games or something along those lines, and it proceeds to be your, a lot of people compare it to Battle Royale because that's the most easily grabbable cultural icon of the moment that people can compare it to. So it's basically a bunch of teenagers hunting and killing each other, which makes for odd young adult reading, I guess. I don't know how they're going to blunt that for a young adult film that's going to be ostensibly PG-13, so...
Yeah, that's true.
You would think the very theme... That's the type of shit that the MPAA usually wants to throw the book at when there's children involved in anything. Children committing acts of violence. But it's a major studio movie, so they're going to give them whatever fucking rating they want.
Well, yeah, that's how it always works. And I'm like, well, I mean, the idea sounds interesting. I wish it was more... I'd like to see, like, you know, a post-apocalyptic Fallout kind of stuff for teenagers. That would be, I would find that to be interesting. Hunger Games, like, from what I recollect in my head, it's more like Ender's Game meets Battle Royale meets, or watered down into a young lit book for moms to read and people. You ever notice that with, like, Harry Potter books and stuff like that, too? A lot of people our age read them.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that shit.
Yeah, I don't.
Go read something in your own age group.
Either, but I think most people our age can't read things for adults anymore because they're so out of practice and even reading. They haven't read since they were in high school, so how could they read if they wanted to?
These same people will mock you and I for reading Warhammer novels.
Which are written for adults.
Well, they're written for, like, teens and adults. They're PG-13 usually, but
well,
yeah, I mean...
I guess if... I mean, it's got obviously massive amounts of violence. It tries to keep the language pretty clean, but
that's because we live in a culture where decapitation is totally okay. You can actually even think about fucking the next dump, but as soon as you say the word fuck, no, we
it
can't
is
do that.
British, so you have to. The British are pretty hard on violence. They had the going back to the 80s, they had the crackdown on violence in movies where you couldn't show fucking anything in Britain. Everything from America was on the video nasties list.
Yeah, it's and I'm sure that's worked out just peachy for you British people, hasn't it? So
at least they finally lit up, and a lot of the movies that were outlawed in Britain in the 80s have finally been allowed in, though they still make people cut down movies additionally.
Huh. Oh, Britain. Yeah, so Hunger Games, that's something that's like I'm probably never going to read or check out.
Yeah. I mean, it's a trilogy of books too, which means it can be a trilogy of movies, which means they can juice that teat for all they can.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe they'll be cool movies too. I mean, if you say like starving kids must kill each other to survive, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I like to watch this Lord of the Flies ripoff. That sounds awesome. You know, it's actually not really much of a Lord of the Flies ripoff. Lord of the Flies ripoff when I think about it. But anyway, speaking of stuff being ripped off and turned into its own properties and everything, I hear you've been playing Mass Effect 3.
Yes, got Mass Effect 3 a few days ago and already probably 2/3 to 3/4 of the way through the game.
Nice. How do you like it? I haven't played it yet, so
It's good. I like it. So obviously there has been much talking, gnashing of teeth on the internet about Mass Effect 3. It has received tremendous amounts of negative attention because, well, it's the end of a trilogy of incredibly popular games. So you've got the people that want to complain about the popular thing who are just being contrarians. You have the people mm-hmm. who want to complain about things not ending the way they wanted it to. And then you have the rational people complaining about the prices associated with the game and its DLC, who are kind of going over the top and proceeding to bash the game and give it shitty ratings.
Yeah, someone actually posted on my wall that they want to, that there's a petition for a DLC that changes the last minute. Of the game or something?
Yeah, I haven't finished the game yet, so obviously I can't speak to the ending, but there's been a lot of talk and petitions, and they're raising money. People are basically contributing money to Child's Play as part of a drive to to also get the ending of Mass Effect 3 changed, because they don't feel like it's good enough. They don't feel like their decisions throughout the series make enough difference in how the game ends. And to this, I will say, shut the fuck up. A, you don't dictate the ending of a like novel or a movie or a game. You don't get to complain. You can complain about it sucking, but you can't tell people to fucking change it. If it's their vision, you can say, I don't like it. I'm not going to fucking call up Damon Lindelof and tell him he has to reshoot the last fucking season of Lost and fix that shit heap. I'm not going to start a petition to make them change that and fix the fact that their show is a pile of dog shit. You don't do that. And on top of that, you're taking into consideration the fact that you have a series of three games that you can transfer your save file from the first game to the second game, and the decisions you make in the first game affect some of the things in the second game, and then take this save game from the second and transfer it to the third, where even more decisions and the sum total of everything you've done makes minor tweaks in who shows up, what happens. Mm-hmm. Some decisions you make thinking that you're on the right side may cause problems during the war because you've prevented something else from happening. So basically there's tweaks, but the thing is, this is not the end of Mass Effect. They're doing more Mass Effect stuff. This is just the end of the trilogy about Commander Shepard.
Right, that's Chris Evans, right?
No. In what sense? The fact that it kind of looks like him vaguely?
Isn't Chris Evans the voice of the main guy?
No. It's just some voice actor.
How did I get that wrong?
And there's male and female. You can play either.
Okay.
The voice of the female is actually better. I like the female voice actress more than the male, but everybody plays as the male. They just started really promoting the female aspect of it with the third game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the thing is, it's not going to end there. It's not going to just be wrapped up tidily and they move on. So they have to have some consistent concept of what actually happens in the third game at the ending to right. go into the next game. There has to be some kind of declaration of what actually happened, no matter what save game you fucking used. You can't have a ending that is incredibly dependent specifically on your choices and your choices alone, because how do you continue a series and continue writing where something is based so heavily on hundreds of variables? So I think in that aspect of people complaining about, well, the ending doesn't take into consideration all these different things I did. It's how many games do you play have that many fucking endings?
Mark Meer, by the way, who apparently to me sounds a lot like Chris Evans.
After you hear him talk for a while, you will get right the fuck over that, because he doesn't really sound anything like Chris Evans.
No, I played Mass Effect 1.
Really? He sounds nothing like Chris Evans. They're like an octave off from each other, at least. Chris Evans has a much higher voice. I mean, he plays it down a little. He's going for the husky soldier voice.
My exposure to Chris Evans was more limited when I played Mass Effect, which was 2008, right? So I remember when I was playing Mass Effect, when I was visiting some friends. The thing I don't understand, though, is, I mean, I know some fan uproar can change things a little bit. Like, remember how the ending of Fallout 3 was sort of changed?
And I don't think the ending of Fallout 3 was a problem. I mean, I get that they wanted to tell a story, and it was a very finite story, and you get done, and it ends, which they replicated in New Vegas, and people didn't complain half as much about that. Despite the fact that the ending was substantially shittier, in my view, and it ends and you can't play it anymore. With Fallout 3, the thing is that you play it and you get to the end and you still have so much left to do and you want to keep going, and then they release all this DLC for it that you want to play, and either you have to start a new character or you have to patch the game, change it in some way, which is what they chose to do. They were like, well, people love playing this and they want to keep going and going and going with the same character. Either they can't finish the game or we open it up to them. And in that case, Bethesda was like, well, fuck it. Yeah, we can change the ending, keep it open, let people keep doing stuff, though. I mean, obviously, it changes the emotional tone of the ending. Do not have the main character die at the end and just...
Oh, yeah, spoiler alert.
I mean, what else is going to force the game to end and not let you continue, other than character death?
I don't think I've ever played a newer role-playing game or computer role-playing game where I've been completely satisfied with the ending. Because you can't be, especially more open world, sandbox kind of things. Like Fallout New Vegas, perfectly fine, don't care. I'm more interested, I love Fallout, like this is where Ryan and I will have a huge, huge disagreement, because he thinks Fallout 3 is better than Fallout New Vegas, whereas I enjoyed Fallout New Vegas more than Fallout 3. I love both the games. Ryan, you don't like Fallout New Vegas, do you?
It's good as far as most games go, but I find it to be incredibly mediocre as far as writing, setting, tone, like the quest decisions and faction options. I think the mechanics are fine. I think the game works okay, but I just think the lack of variety in the setting, the kind of boring nature of the locations, the quest lines not being particularly interesting.
See, I enjoyed it, but I usually tell people to play both games, right? And also, there's a lot of really good user content or mods. There's a lot of good mods that were created for Fallout New Vegas as well. I can't quite explain why I love Fallout New Vegas more. I think it's because some of the things, like the Caesar's Legions, like really, like that was like one of the coolest game concepts ever created. And of course, Fallout 3 doesn't have that. But neither game's like ending is overly satisfactory. Knights of the Old Republic was also very unsatisfactory in its ending.
BioWare is not like great about overall stories for a long time. I think they had a lot of problems in their older games with creating a satisfying overall story for or plot for the main line of the game. They're great with dialogue and characters and side missions, but it seems like when it comes to the main central plot that runs through the whole of the game, it's kind of weak. Like, look at fucking Neverwinter Nights.
Look at Neverwinter Nights 2, which had the worst ending ever. And
I never played Neverwinter Nights 2 because I heard it was a buggy mess, and the game just continues to throw more and more almost unbeatable shit at you just to prevent you from getting to the ending.
Pretty much, yeah, that's pretty much that sums it up. But the thing is, like, I mean, when I say unsatisfactory for any of these games, I don't mean I hated them. I don't mean that I dislike them. I mean that there always could have been something better or whatever.
It's like when you leave the theater after watching a movie and you're like, that movie was good, but the last 10 minutes is eh. It was like seeing Babylon AD in the theater where the ending was just kind of like a shrug and it was like, okay,
or even Battlestar Galactica, the TV show. There is like no way anyone could have been satisfied with that ending.
Or Lost.
I wasn't. Or Lost. See, I haven't seen Lost. You haven't seen BSG.
Yes. Yeah, so on the opposite sides. Yeah.
I'll take your word for it though.
And yeah, you don't want to go there, man. The problem is, I think it's probably overall a better show with more potential to end well that just gets totally thrown out in the last season and a half, be just to service an ending that they came up with before the fucking show even started.
You know, I bitched about it at the time, but I would say that I think they had it right with The Sopranos. The best endings are the ones that just end. They just end. It just fucking ends. That's it. Like, in the middle of, like, them talking, like, and then I'm going to go take up the end.
Yeah, people wanted it to be Shakespearean, to have a finite end, to see... I never watched Sopranos either, but my impression is everybody wanted to see him either get his comeuppance or see things become final for his character in some way.
And
I'm
he
not
probably,
sure why, but
it's deeply hinted at that that's what probably happens, but in a creative kind of way, and looking at it as somebody who creates stories, I would say that The Sopranos pretty much was the equivalent of your favorite grandmother being on life support with terminal cancer. You were just there to see her because Nana reminds you of great times that you had together when you were a kid and blah, 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 catching grasshoppers or whatever. And there she is dying. And really, the logical thing is that you need to pull the plug because I kept watching Sopranos because I liked the characters. I enjoyed the show. And not that the show was terrible at the end, but it was kind of terrible. And it was just starting to get kind of like it was done. It just needed to be done. And the same thing with Battlestar Galactica, and I've just recently rewatched that whole series, and it was screaming, please pull the fucking plug. You know, like,
we ran out of ideas a season ago, someone kill us.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, BSG was, like, each episode was great. It was just when it all connected together, you're like, this is terrible. And,
yeah, that's the problem that they have. People are able to come up with episodic content that's good, but their overall plot line, they focus so hard on making every episode good that it is a can't see the forest for the trees type problem.
And this is why I'm afraid of watching the new. I have not watched the new season of Dexter or the last season. I'm terrified. Yeah. I'm terrified too, because how much more can you milk the same fucking story over and over again? It's
surprisingly, you can keep milking it. That tit is not dry yet.
I'm terrified.
It was good. You watched the season previous with
John Lithgow?
No, that was two seasons.
Oh, no, with
Jimmy Smits? That's
Jimmy Smits.
Three seasons ago.
No, wait. Jimmy Smits was before Trinity?
Yes.
What was last season?
I'm trying to remember her name.
Wait, is there a new season of Dexter I'm not even aware of and I just didn't watch last season?
Yeah, probably. The new season is Edward James Olmos and Colin Hanks.
Oh, shit. I should watch that. Are we in season 5?
No, season 7 is the next one. There's been 6 seasons, Steve. So, last season...
So I haven't seen season 5 or 6. Okay.
Julia Stiles.
Oh, wait, no, actually. Yeah, Julia Stiles.
So, yeah, last season, Julia Stiles.
Oh, yeah, I saw that season. I haven't seen season 6. Okay.
So, you did see the one with... her, him rescuing her and him finally having a connection with somebody else, but then her leaving him at the end.
Yeah,
spoiler.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, and that just tells you that for everyone like me before who said Dexter's the best show ever, someone, as I say in every episode of Malthus, someone with as good a memory as mine got confused and was like, huh, mainly because Dexter is the creators of the show are smart and they never overextend themselves.
Yeah.
So...
they keep things pretty tight, and they've always been good about ending it in such a way that it doesn't necessarily have to go on. Though they've, for the past few seasons, they've known that they're going to have at least two more seasons at any given time.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have at least 8 seasons at this point that they've been greenlit for.
Back to Mass Effect 3, though. You would say, like, is this worth picking up? Is it? It's fun. It's,
yes. It's, like, so
fanboy
far,
shit aside.
It's much less action-oriented. Like, the first game, you go around, you pick up a bunch of different characters to put together a team and go on your big mission. I'm sure you experienced that one firsthand. Second one, I don't know if you played, but it's a repetition. No. Same thing. You go around and pick up a different bunch of characters and a couple of the original ones, interact with people, and then go on this big suicide mission to save everybody. Third one, you don't really pick up that many characters. You pick up a few, and it's really like I don't think anybody's going to be too surprised or spoiled to say that you eventually get to add Tali to your party, but you don't get her until like 3/4 of the way through the game, or maybe 2/3. I'm not sure how much I have left because I haven't fucking finished it yet, but based on the amount of main, I know how many missions there are in the main plot line, and I've only got like 2 to go. Mm-hmm. So, and there's only like 8 or something. So it's not very long. I've only played it for about like maybe 20 to 25 hours. So it feels like, and I'm doing everything. I have done every fucking thing in the game almost. Only the missions that I can't complete. So I have done a lot of stuff. I've already well over maxed out the military support that you need to get the good ending of the game. Because there's a bar of military readiness, basically, that you fill up over the course of the game, which you also get a bonus for playing the multiplayer, which I tried last night. Multiplayer, surprisingly good. I do not like multiplayer games, but the multiplayer is entirely 4-man co-op, and you basically take on, it's like you get harassed by more and tougher monsters every round for like 10 or 11 rounds. So it's basically you go through a wave of monsters attacking you, you kill them, you get your health comes back, you get more ammo, you go replenish your ammo, and then you get ready for the next wave. You just have to rely on everybody to kind of work together, whereas you get more points for getting kills, so it tends to be some dude runs off as fast as possible to try to find and massacre everything in the game and get the most points, whereas I like hang back and treat it like a fucking military shooter where I'm like checking all of my angles, like checking cover, like looking around, trying to like make sure there's nobody coming, holding position at a good choke, whereas the other assholes are running around like lunatics just trying to get as many kills as possible to get the most XP, because you level up your characters and you can choose all these different classes, and each one of them is leveled up individually, though and you get like credits as well, and you spend those credits buying basically what amounts to like booster card packs. You can buy them with for real money with BioWare points, but you can just like each mission you can get like at least 5 to 20,000 credits, and the packs are anywhere from 20 to 60,000 credits. So you buy a pack of stuff and it gives you some bonuses to use during a mission if you want, or unlock new classes, new weapons, stuff like that. So you basically have to keep playing and buying shit just to unlock all of your weapons and characters and stuff, and it's random.
All right, so I'll take
but
that
it's fun.
As an endorsement.
It's surprisingly fun, and I hate multiplayer games generally. Yep. I would rather eat a fucking gun than have to play like Call of Duty or Battlefield.
Me too. I despise online multiplayer because, to everyone listening, I probably fucking hate you if I play with you online, unless you're a friend. Like, friends are different, but, you know, like, I really despise playing with strangers half the time because...
Another bonus of playing on the PC is that there is no typing communication. Everything is done through voice chat, and nobody uses the voice chat. Everybody's just completely dead fucking silent for the entire game. Even if people have their like headsets on, they very rarely say anything at all. So there's very little talking in the online multiplayer on PC. The downsides of the game, if the ending does suck, then it is going to kind of suck. I mean, the game feels good, despite the fact that there is a sort of lack of doing stuff in the game. There's a lot more talking and character stuff than there is action, which I'm sure will irritate some people, but if the ending doesn't pay off, it'll kind of be a big downer. But it hits a good emotional tone, at least. People die, it's kind of sad. It's handled well and with a certain level of dignity. But at the same time, one of the major complaints about the game was they released zero-day DLC. The day it came out, there was a DLC pack with a new weapon, two missions, a whopping two missions, which were really short, by the way. And and the missions are just to unlock another character to be on your team. It's $10. It really should have been no more than $5. And it was free if you bought the collector's edition. So people were mad that people were mainly mad that the DLC was created before the game was done. So they basically reserved a part of the game to sell back to you for more money. I got the game for free because Best Buy owed me some cash, so I got the game for free and felt it was I could spend the $10 and not feel bad about it. But still, the $10 was kind of a ripoff. Even getting the game for free for me, it was still kind of a ripoff because I got very little out of it. Sure, I've got the character, maybe I'll eventually use him, but the way I've been playing, I probably won't. I don't use him on my main like soldier playthrough because I need to support people with powers, because I do all the fucking shooting, and he seems like an interesting character and all, but there's not a lot to it. It's very little content for the $10 you're paying in, so I will agree that that feels a little bit like fucking usury, but I'm not saying that they fucking kept a major part of the game out to sell back to you. It's not a major part. It's so fucking minor it barely matters. It's kind of not worth the $10 just based on how little it adds. So quit your fucking whining about that. Just complain about how goddamn expensive it is for so little.
Do you think nerds are getting a little bit out of control with their complaints about the ending and this new
Absolutely. DLC stuff? People feel so goddamn entitled.
Now, have you noticed a lot of these nerds, they tend to be like people like my dad. My dad's in his 70s. He doesn't understand like why people flip the fuck out about this kind of stuff. He's like, you should just be happy you're getting something. Like his only complaints about video games is they seem a lot of them seem unfinished, because back in the old days you just got like old days meaning like the 1980s for home computing games, you would get the game and that's it, that's done. Yeah. You didn't get
there was no DLC, there was no expansion packs.
Yeah, you had to get in like so. Usually, like I'm excited like that they can do updates and patches and stuff like that. I think that's great.
But they rely on updates and patches now.
Yeah, they do. They do. And I think that's a legitimate complaint, but asking them to change the ending.
Of course, at the same time, the games are getting so much more complicated over time that it's impossible to find all the bugs. So when people go apeshit complaining about how buggy Skyrim is when I only had two bugs and neither of them were particularly game breaking.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck their problem is. So people are alternately entitled in the sense that they feel like the game should be fucking perfect when it's given to them. And on the other hand, they're also way forgiving of games being shitty and broken if they happen to like that game.
Dear Bethesda haters, I would like to know what fucking games you're getting that are so fucking broken, because I've gotten every game of Bethesda since Daggerfall, with the exception of Skyrim, which I just haven't gotten yet because I don't have enough time to play it. And you know what? I don't know what fucking bugs you're talking about. What are you talking about? Like, I don't
minor
understand.
Minor glitches and shit. There's occasionally like quest bugs that it'll break a quest, but usually under like very strange or specific circumstances. The problem is not everything can be tested on every hardware and software setup.
Right.
Your computer. The problem with PCs is everyone is a fucking individual. You like to believe that you are a fucking individual snowflake of a human, and your computer is. Very, very few computers are fucking alike because of all the different shit you put into it and onto it. That's why people complain about Windows being a piece of shit, but Windows is fucking great. It will make any piece of hardware you throw at it run. Mac can run on one goddamn thing. Your Mac OS doesn't do anything.
Well, also, just try to talk to Apple sometime. I was going to call them Macrosoft. Just try talking to Apple sometime about their stuff not working. Or going to an Apple store, like when my girlfriend bought her iPad 3, which, by the way, is a pretty awesome device. But she did not want me to come with her because she knew that I would mock. I always mock Apple employees because they, not because they're, I hate Apple, but because they tend to be douchebags. So, I mean, if you're an Apple employee, listen to this, and you think you're a great person, please tell me. That'd be great. But I just, when I try saying like, oh, this didn't work for me, they're like, oh, that didn't happen. You're like, but this particular thing didn't work. Like when someone was talking about like their OS crashing. What is it called? Safari or some bullshit?
Safari is the browser.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, their browser was crashing. They're like, well, that doesn't happen. And I'm like...
Safari is the weakest shit Apple has ever put out. It is so fucking unstable and, like, unsafe. Safari is the most unsafe browser there is to use. You could use fucking IE 6.0 and it would still not right. It'd still be more safe than Safari.
I just want to say this to, and this goes out to a very, I'm not going to name him, but this goes out to a very particular Apple fanatic I know. If Apple's so perfect, how come people have to hire you to fix their fucking Apple products? That's what I want to know. Like, if Apple's so easy, then updating your system, no, Glenn, I'm not talking about you, you're awesome. But if you got to update your system and stuff like that, if it's so fucking easy, how come they got to hire a Mac expert? Now, that's nothing against my friend who does this. But I just want to know, because, like, how do you make a living fixing people's Apple stuff as a freelance Apple fixer when they're so perfect? Which is what I've heard, if Windows is so horrible. I don't know anybody who fixes Windows stuff like freelance, like, that makes a living at it. Anyway, so I don't understand. All I know is the fucking operating system, and sometimes they break. Okay. And I'm actually waving my arms around as I say this, because the shit pisses me off. So... Anyway, I that aside. Oh, and there's no video games for Apple, really. I mean, Steam.
No, they're just like finally getting to the point that people are finally getting able to run some games again. Some people are actually trying to court some Apple users, but the problem is most of the money now, especially where Macs are concerned, is in fucking iPad and iPhone.
That's
games.
Right. And if you do get a tablet, get a fucking iPad. Like, take it from somebody who like doesn't own an iPad, but whose girlfriend does. It's a very nice fucking machine, mainly because the iTunes store or iPad store or whatever it's called is great.
It's all iTunes.
Yeah, well, whatever. Like, the store you have for putting shit on your iPad is awesome. It's like, I'll hand them that. I got to give credit where credit's due. The new iPad 3 is a fucking amazing machine. It's amazing. So I have seen the what I call the Optimus Prime. I guess it's called the Asus Transformer Prime. That's a really nice machine too. But I own a Playbook, so. That store sucks dick. Hardcore dick. So it's like not even in a good way. Not even good dick sucking. We're talking like fucking...
Yeah, BlackBerry was a bit outmatched in trying to create a tablet platform. I mean, I think a lot of people are pretty satisfied with Androids, tablets.
If you can get a Playbook for $150, like a 16 or 32 gig one, get it.
The standard price is $199 now for a 16 gig Playbook.
If you can find a dissatisfied person who's selling it for $100 to $150 bucks... Buy it. My Playbook is an awesome e-reader.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it depends on what you want to use things for. I mean, you have to take that in consideration with pretty much every technology purchase you make. If you are going to like use a computer to do nothing but look at Facebook, why buy a fucking $2,000 system?
Yeah.
Why buy an expensive, fancy ass tablet just to read ebooks? That's
so. I guess
stupid.
They kind of got it right on Star Trek: Next Generation, and every week they seem to have a problem with their ship because they're running obviously on. It's like a giant iPad in space.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And anyway, all that aside, Mass Effect 3 is cool. I'm happy to see BioWare actually, like when I first heard about Mass Effect years ago, I didn't have much faith that they would do well with an original property. They did. So congratulations, BioWare. It's nice to see something good coming out of Edmonton other than, you know, a couple of friends in the music industry and a lot of fucking snow. So,
Yeah, I'm not sure if, I mean, it's not even really that original or property, it's just they stripped all the Star Wars out of Knights of the Old Republic and made it better and added a shooter aspect, which, I mean, it really, a lot of the, like, playing Knights of the Old Republic, I was surprised by how much stuff I had already seen in the first two Mass Effect games and in Dragon Age. I was like, wow, they reuse all this shit. I was like, and they did it better the second time. At least if you're going to fucking repeat yourself, improve.
Improve it, yeah. And I, speaking of repeating oneself and improving, first of all, we mentioned before Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas.
Yes.
And I also mentioned the Bethesda hate, and I didn't understand that. And I also have never understood why people, especially over in No Mutants Allowed, which is actually a pretty cool little forum, I never understood why
those
they had so
are
much
fucking insane.
Well, about how like Fallout 1 and 2 are better than Fallout 3. To them, as a lifelong Fallout fan who's played Fallout longer than many of them have, no, it is not. Fallout 3 is vastly superior to Fallout 1 and 2 on every level imaginable. How it doesn't have the tactical, like squad-based isometric view, which I enjoyed. But honestly, like if you played Fallout 3 and hated it and said I preferred Fallout 1, you have some kind of rare birth defect and should really, really, really check into a clinic. Because I'm okay.
Maybe you should be playing fucking Civilization instead.
I am okay with people arguing which is better, the original Dawn of the Dead or the remake of Dawn of the Dead. I'll say I like the remake better. I've even told George Romero that to his face. He was very nice about it. However, and he actually liked it too. I mean, the point is, but it's comparing Fallout 1 and Fallout 2 to Fallout 3 is literally like comparing apples and oranges, or more like apples and serial rapists. It does not, they don't compute. They're really, although the same background, they're very different games. I don't understand why. You can just simply say you don't like first-person shooters. Great. But if you're like saying that Fallout 3 misses the zaniness of Fallout, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Maybe you can explain it, Ryan, but that's...
I don't know. I think they have a very specific idea of what the game means to them as people mm-hmm. when they first played it, and nothing can live up to that again. It's like wanting to go back, date, mm-hmm. and fuck your first love, thinking that it would be perfect.
Yeah, I went back and watched the old D&D cartoons. They fucking suck. So it's the same kind of idea. It's nostalgia. But now we have someone answering this question, and that's Brian Fargo and company. And they have just, in the course of like 48 hours, more than raised the funds they needed to do Wasteland 2.
Like what, $1 million?
900,000. They're at a million, okay. Almost $1.3 million.
Yeah.
And I'm donated. I did a $15 Kickstarter donation. I'll get a free download of the game. I think that's more than enough. $15. But some people might want to donate way more. They have some pretty cool perks. Honestly, if I had 10 grand to drop, I would have totally loved that one. That's where you get to go party with them and shit. But the point is, Wasteland 2 is to follow up the Wasteland, which was released in 1988. It was the game that Fallout is basically spun out of. Because they couldn't make a Wasteland 2, and so they made Fallout, because they had to strip out all the IP and stuff. And that's basically, so Fallout, the first Fallout, is essentially a spiritual
and
successor.
And then Fallout was going to be based on GURPS, mm-hmm. and then they had to strip that out.
And some people may not know that Ken St. Andre was involved with Wasteland, and he was the guy, one of the guys who created Tunnels and Trolls. So, and that just, I'm quoting Wikipedia here, the game mechanics are based directly on those used in the role-playing games Tunnels and Trolls and Mercenary Spies and Private Eyes, created by St. Andre and, of course, Michael Stackpole, which, by the way, Michael Stackpole is back, because now he's like a famous sci-fi writer, and Michael Stackpole and Ken St. Andre are back, and they're on board, and I watched the video today on the Kickstarter site explaining Wasteland 2 with Brian Fargo giving his presentation. And they are totally capitalizing on the Fallout 3 hate. They really are. They are really capitalizing on it. In fact, Wasteland 2, this is probably where they might lose Ryan Speck.
Oh, God. I wouldn't play that shit. Just watching the video of the first Wasteland, I have no interest in playing it.
Wasteland 2 is basically going to be like Fallout 2. It's going to be the same. It's going to be, you're going to have a squad. It's going to be isometric. And it's going to be like this. Like, I love that shit. So it's going to be like Neverwinter Nights or something like that.
I won't be playing that.
Right, and that's the thing, is like, some people like me are old school and love that. A lot of new school kids aren't going to really dig it. I do highly recommend they make Wasteland 2 available for, like, tablet systems. Like, if you play that fucker on an iPad, it'd be perfect, because, you know, or a stripped-down version of it. Because one of the things, like, a lot of these tablets are lacking are really good dungeon crawl or Fallout-like role-playing games. Computer role-playing games. Yeah, so the whole old team is back. So you're not going to play Wasteland 2. You're not interested or excited about this.
Nope. Not at all.
Why is that?
Just does not look like the type of thing I would be vaguely interested in playing. I mean, I play games for fun. I don't like games that are overly challenging just to be a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Like, I was trying to play Deus Ex Human Revolution, mm-hmm. and I just don't get it. A lot of people really love that game, thought it was the game of the year for last year. I don't know what the fuck they're smoking. The game is not that interesting. The story sucks.
Oh, come on. Everyone told me that Deus Ex 2 Invisible War was, like, the greatest fucking game ever made.
Because everybody hates Deus Ex Invisible War now. And for the past few years, it's been nothing but talking shit about how awful that game was. I just remember trying the demo and being like, I don't get this fucking game at all.
I played through that piece of shit, and then people are like, I somehow missed Deus Ex. I missed the Deus Ex train when it came out. So mm-hmm. I played Deus Ex. And I'm okay with playing retro games at that point of Deus Ex 2. Deus Ex was kind of a retro game. And I don't fucking understand all the love for it. It was okay, but it wasn't like amazing. I didn't like play through Deus Ex.
There were so many options as to what you could do with the game. I guess it was the openness with which you could play in this world, and there was there's consequences to everything, but very few limitations. Like somebody pointed out that I guess you at the beginning of Deus Ex or whatever, your brother shows up to talk to you, and you can kill your own brother, just gun him down, like before even talking to him.
See, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, I like that aspect to it, but when I play a game, it seems like when people say, oh, the openness is great, and I'm like, okay, great. I like openness in a game. I like sandbox type things. But also, if there's a storyline involved, that story has to be well written. So it's kind of like when I'm playing a role-playing game, like a tabletop role-playing game, I might really like the background or might like the rules, but if the background sucks, then why am I buying this game in the first place? Like, what's the point? Yeah. And or vice versa. Like people say, like when I buy, it's kind of like buying Palladium games. When you buy them, you should be able to play everything out of box, not have to reinvent everything. So why the fuck do you have it in the first place?
Yeah. I don't know. I think like Deus Ex probably has an interesting backstory, and they put a lot more thought into it than shows up on the screen, I think. But the problem is the overall plot obviously seems a little retarded. Mm-hmm. The characters are really wooden and stupid. The dialogue's pretty crappy. The actual system under which the game works, it's mainly a first-person shooter, which I'm fine with. The first-person shooter aspects work pretty well. Mm-hmm. It's decent. It is like a combination of, reminds me of playing Fear minus the fear part, but it has the feeling of something like Fear or Crysis in the first person shooter aspect. And then the gameplay also has a sort of Hitman aspect where you mm-hmm. can just like murder somebody and drag the body off so nobody notices that they're gone.
Okay.
So it has those two things, but then on the back end, you have like an inventory that you can only fill up with so much shit, and a role-playing like stat, sort of like unlocking different abilities for your character system that doesn't really feel like it does all that much. The whole, especially the inventory system, it just seems like a headache because there's nowhere for you to put stuff. Mm-hmm. You have no like stash. In most games, you would have a place to drop your shit off and pick it up if you want to change out stuff. There's none of that in the game.
It's suffering from Diablo 1 syndrome.
Yeah. Anything that you don't want to carry on, you just has to be thrown on the fucking ground and hope that it's still there when you come back, if you come back, because like I've noticed that you think you'll get done with a mission, then you'll be able to go back and sell some of the shit you don't need and like drop off a weapon or switch something out or get some more ammo or check for something else. And then the mission just keeps on going for 2 fucking hours of being a corridor shooter. Just goes on and on and on. The mission leads to another mission, which you automatically go on and you're in a completely different location. Next thing you know, you're not even in that city anymore. And it's like you have no home base to even think about dropping shit off at, and you're like, why do I have an inventory if it's not going to let, if all I can do is just sell shit or have shit? Why have given me a limited amount of space? And it's like blocks where you've got, fortunately it auto arranges it for you to a certain degree, but you're talking about like arranging shit and your gun taking up like, and the pre-order bonuses, if you happen to get those fucking suck, because on your first mission, all of a sudden, half of your inventory is automatically full of like guns it gives you. And it's like, Jesus Christ, I can't pick up anything because I'm full of guns that I can't use because there's no ammo for them in these levels. It's just kind of infuriating. And I was like, I'm getting kind of tired of this game. Oh, Mass Effect 3 is here. Like, that has been the opposite experience where it's like, I have fights where I'll die a lot sometimes, and I wouldn't call them challenging, but it's fun and challenging enough that I immediately go back and try it again. Maybe I'll fuck up two or three times in a particular fight and get myself killed, but I don't get, like, frustrated at it, whereas Deus Ex was a lot of frustration, even with parts where I wasn't doing all that much.
Right.
In fact, the doing nothing was a lot more frustrating than the parts where I was, like, running around through corridors, sneaking around, shooting people in the face. Like, the parts where I was, like, running back and forth across big cities where there's nothing to do in the entire goddamn city except go from place to place to pick up missions or sell shit in, like, those couple places spread out around a giant goddamn city that is mainly just there to give you places to walk around and slow down your fucking computer.
All this talk of these games makes me... Now, you'll appreciate this, Ryan. I've been playing through Painkiller again.
Yeah, I suppose you've been trying the new one. They just released a new Painkiller game like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Still basically on the same engine and the exact same game. It's just what? Like yet another expansion for Painkiller.
No, I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah, they keep re-releasing the Painkiller, but not as interesting, I guess.
Oh, well, that's okay, noted. I'll check it out. But the
Painkiller had the expansion Battle Out of Hell. Then they released a second game called Overdose, which supposedly. It was it's an expansion.
You can get the original. You can get the Black Edition of Painkiller over,
which has Battle Out of Hell and Overkill, I think. There's Resurrection, which is like a sequel to the first one in a way. And then Redemption, which was a weird thing. Apparently it was originally a mod that got released as a whole game. And now there's a new one called Painkiller Recurring Evil, which is an add-on to the original game with five new levels. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a re-release and kind of a new game. It's a way for them to get more of your fucking money, I guess.
You can get Painkiller over at GOG.com, good old game, so GOG.com.
Or it's on Steam, on sale all the goddamn time.
So, and as you can tell, Ryan really enjoyed Painkiller.
Back in the day, I tried replaying it, and it wasn't as fun since, like, the game came out, 2004? Yeah, it's not as much fun, like, 6 or 8 years later.
My desktop is rather slow, and when I'm writing stuff, I want to take a break, and I just want to kill things. Painkiller is just perfect for that. The thing is, like, it makes me want a game that is similar to, say, Mass Effect, but with the background of Painkiller, or that same kind of like, or Fallout. That's like, well, I want a game like Fallout New Vegas or Fallout 3 or Mass Effect, but like Painkiller, not necessarily like Heaven Has a Hitman kind of shit, but that same aesthetic, right?
Just insane.
Just insane with demons and undead. Can I have that, please?
You kind of get that with Serious Sam with the same level of crazy.
But also Diablo 3 is coming out finally. Not bad. I've known about the development of Diablo 3 for 6 years, 7 years. What fucking year is it? Yeah, 7 years.
Yeah. I mean, and everybody's known about the development of Diablo 3 for like the past 3 years. I mean, it was supposed to come out like, what, two Christmases ago, people were saying, and now it's finally got an announced release date for mid-May.
I saw it played at Penny Arcade Expo 2 years ago. And shit, these guys, like, putting out a new Diablo is like me trying to put out a new column or something, except worse, because there's millions of dollars involved. It's like, there should be 4 Diablos by now. There should, you know, it's not that difficult to make a game like that. Now, I know...
A small company made Torchlight in minimal time. One of the guys that worked on Torchlight made Fate... the sequel to Fate, then worked on Torchlight, and now they've almost got Torchlight 2 done in the time that they've been working on Diablo 3.
Don't forget Divine Divinity and Beyond Divinity were both done, which are basically really cool versions of Diablo 2. more of a CRPG version of Diablo 2, which I recommend to anybody who likes those kind of games.
I liked the Fate games, but Torchlight was really good. I'm actually figuring that Torchlight and Torchlight 2 will probably be better than Diablo 3 when it finally comes out.
Well, that's the thing is, like, why they should be working on Diablo 4 and Diablo 5 by now. Now, I understand, like, this is like a definitely like a fan type thing where you're like, oh, well, why can't you get it done? And then, of course, this will lead to people saying,
but it's,
well,
Blizzard. Steve, they take their fucking sweet ass time. Oh, no,
they didn't. They didn't release it last year because they released StarCraft 2. They want to fucking milk up all your money. They don't want to release like StarCraft 2 and Diablo 3 in the same year because that's fucking insane. So it's all
that,
very
and
shrewd.
Apparently they haven't been done with it. Like, I just heard a while back that they were saying that they're almost done working on the content for the game. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? You're still writing at this point?
I, you know what? I'll just come out and say when I talk to some, I don't even want to hint who I talk to at all, but they were fucking done with it 2 years ago. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so they're pretty done with it then. I don't understand, like, what happened to make it undone in 2 years. But, yeah. So, like, whatever. Like, whatever. Like, that's cool. I firmly believe, like, I understand I make fun of people who say 9/11 was an inside job, but I do believe that marketing conspiracies are far more common in the video game industry. So, they're essentially, you know, they didn't want to release StarCraft 2 and Diablo 3 in the same 2 year cycle. That's all.
Well, I mean, they're kind of doing it anyway because they were about to release the second part of StarCraft 2 since they divided it up into three games instead of releasing all of it as one game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's why I don't know. StarCraft 2 isn't that far. You can run StarCraft 2 on old like game systems or PC systems from like 2005. I mean, it's not exactly the most.
Though, if you crank up all of the visual settings, apparently it will make a pretty hardcore computer like lag.
Is it because it has a lot of going on? I'm assuming.
Yeah, and also it's really detailed if you want to zoom in.
That's cool.
If you zoom in, you can zoom in and look at the fucking characters full screen, and they are fully detailed. But you gotta crank the shit all the way up.
In the time between StarCraft 1 and 2, we had, like, shit. Like, in half the time between StarCraft and StarCraft 2, we had a variety of Dawn of War games. So,
yeah.
Not to mention Mark of Chaos for Warhammer.
In the time it took them to make a second StarCraft, they were overrun by 70 fucking Command & Conquer games Dawn of War games and all sorts of other shit.
And you could say it's because of World of Warcraft and it's a gigantic money machine. I just want to know why.
Which is slowly dying out, thankfully. I don't know who the fuck. Like, there are people actually looking forward to that Mists of Pandaria expansion coming out.
Don't even know what
Seriously,
that is. Don't care.
It Kung Fu Panda, the MMO expansion.
Yay.
You get to play Asian-inspired martial artist Panda Man.
Okay, well, that's great. I'm sure it's Chuck Norris approved, right? So, like,
which makes me laugh because one of the races in, you remember Progress Quest? It was a game that you could download for free that played itself. It was made to mock things like Diablo 2, where the game just plays itself and tells you about all the cool like weapons and shit weapons you're getting and shit you're doing and killing. One of the races you could choose was Panda Man.
Nice.
Another one was a Demi-Canadian.
Demi-Canadian, yeah, I remember that one. I'm a Demi-Canadian.
I would always play Demi-Canadian Bastard Lunatic.
Well, I should really find Progress Quest. I love that game. But the thing is, I think Blizzard did happen upon a new thing, which is where you wait until your first game is retro, or until Korea is finally done playing it, and you release a sequel. So, like, it's like now it's all retro, because when StarCraft 2 came out, people were like, oh my god, yay! Because StarCraft 1 is so fucking retro. It came out, what, 1998?
Yeah, I tried to play StarCraft again recently. And dude, the fucking game is dog shit looking. I mean, I didn't remember it looking that bad in comparison to StarCraft.
Because we were playing on shittier monitors. And our eyes weren't as good back in the 90s.
Oh god, it's so fucking terrible. It's like, watching the new game and then going back to the first game, it's like, oh god, this is really rough. I can't even tell what the fuck's going on. All I see is giant pixel blocks. It might as well be fucking Rogue.
Maybe we'll finally see games that are, like, you know, a Planescape remake or a new game.
I mean, I think to a certain extent, a lot of companies are trying to get out of the business of doing licensed products because then they got to split the money. And at the same time, they're paying out money just to make a game that may or not get canceled.
That's true, but like...
And plus, how many people really care about Dungeons & Dragons anymore?
But how many people care about Planescape? There is a... I don't know if it's a big enough like
Planescape, fan base. Nobody cares about fucking Planescape. Do people care about Planescape when it came out as an AD&D setting?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of, like me and several of my friends purchased the box, set.
I don't think I've ever known anyone that owned Planescape.
I actually, when I found a Planescape novel in a thrift store, as soon as I grabbed it, a guy's like, I will pay you twice as much of what you're paying for that. Like, I will give you twice as much, so you give me $1.50 if I buy the 75-cent book. But I'm like, no, I'm going to take this Planescape novel because he didn't see it, right? And I picked it and he was like, oh man, I want that now. And then everybody wants it. It has a small but dedicated fan base. So yeah. The video game is considered one of the best video games and CRPGs ever created.
I would not try going back and playing it though because I get the feeling that it will be a major disappointment this far after the fact.
I didn't find it to be a major
disappointment. Or virtually unplayable.
Nope. Nope.
Because I tried playing Baldur's Gate, and that game, I was like,
that's
nope,
a different game.
But I got through 15 minutes. 15 minutes after starting it, I was like, I'm done.
No, you can't do Baldur's Gate 1. You have to do Baldur's Gate 2, which is okay to play through again. At least that was as of 5 years ago. Luckily, Planescape is more like just playing through a full story. Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition. Oh, so did you see that like countdown for Baldur's Gate that was going on?
Yeah, that stupid thing.
So
I think everybody was giving that shit a lot more excitement and credit than it deserved. Everybody was so theorizing that they would be making new Baldur's Gate games and this and that.
I kind of cheated when I told someone, it might have been you, that it's probably just an enhanced version because I kind of knew about it. So. But anyway, they're doing.
I knew that too from looking at different websites that people were. I guess that it was going to be a new enhanced version based on what some of the people were saying, some of the people were claiming that it was just going to be a mildly updated because it was the same company that did an update of another game for Atari. They did a slightly modified version of something else.
I love the first Baldur's Gate, and I love the second Baldur's Gate. I played Baldur's Gate when it was new. It was a lot of fucking fun. Definitely the first BG isn't as fun because of gameplay. But as far as, like, if you like those kind of games, that's what started it. So Baldur's Gate is a great game, and so I personally would like to see the overhauled, enhanced version. Although there's really not much about the goddamn game. It's a terrible website. But
it looked like fucking GeoCities.
Jesus Christ. So Atari Wizards of the Coast and Overhaul Games are pleased to announce work has begun on the enhanced edition of Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate 2. Blah, blah, blah.
Whoopee shit.
So I don't know what the overhaul is going to be. You can get a version on good old games that will actually run on your computer, which is nice. But
And they're about to add that to Steam to the complete Baldur's Gate editions that are made to actually run on modern computers or whatever.
And I want to know what the enhanced edition
I think it's just mild visual upgrades because that same company did. I can't remember what it was they said they
overhaul games.
Oh, it was. I think it was the MDK games. You know how they recently a company.
They got MDK to overhaul games.
Yeah, they did the visual update.
Holy
for
shit.
The MDK games.
Right. Okay, dear Overhaul Games, you need a motherfucking copy editor. I have already spotted one grammar error about us. This is the About Us page. We are Overhaul Games, period, lowercase s, since we got our start at BioWare. We've made a few games. No comma, then a comma, met a few friends, comma, and now we're back working on the games we love. Yeah, apparently, and you're not like, hey guys, I'm an editor. I will do this shit for almost free. So, please, for love of God, like holy shit. I don't know. Maybe they don't speak English as a first language.
I would not doubt it. But well, I think it may be a European company, actually.
They're in Edmonton.
Really?
Down the street from the original BioWare office. Right now, we're hip deep in code. But if you're going to have two paragraphs about you on your Overhaul Games website, which that's all it is, you're going to need, and especially, just look at the bottom of that page. I don't know how it loads up for you. I mean, I fully support what these guys are doing, and I'm sure they're great people. but the copy editing is incredibly important. So anyway,
that's just what I noticed. Especially for a static page that is just a landing. So you think they could have just fixed that fucking text.
You know what?
Text,
I'll
at it before adding it to the HTML page.
Maybe I'll, like, if I remember, I'll email them a little, like, I go, please put this in place of this. It'll take me seconds. I'm a professional editor and copywriter, so for the love of God, get this fucking right. Anyway, it sounds like I'm harsh, but it's one of my pet peeves. So, well, I don't know what the hell we're talking about. I just wanted to bring up the whole Baldur's Gate thing, and then they're enhancing them, and everyone's excited, and blah.
Old games, overestimated.
Painkiller. Painkiller is still fun. I'm still enjoying playing through it.
Tune in next week for the continuation of this overlong episode in which Ryan and Steve continue to talk about Stakeland and Prometheus, as well as Steve rambling incoherently about religion. Thanks for listening.